Well, today I want to talk to you about a certain subject, and the title of the message today is Love Keeps a Tender Heart. And the first point we want to make on that is that love forgives. One of the first, most critical points about walking in love is that love forgives. So you can open your Bibles up with me to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. First, I'm going to read this in the New American Standard. It says, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." And I think it'll help us to look at that also in the Amplified. In the Amplified, it puts it this way, "And become useful and helpful and kind to one another, tender-hearted, compassionate, understanding, loving-hearted, forgiving one another readily and freely, as God in Christ forgave you." That's a key for us right there, forgiving readily and freely. You know, Stanley Frodsham was a man that wrote down a story that Smith Wigglesworth had told him. And he wrote down this story that Smith Wigglesworth had told him about his own wife. Smith Wigglesworth, at a certain point in his life, had backslid and had grown cold and was not attending church, even though he was saved. And this was while he was in the plumbing business earlier in his life. And yet his wife, Polly, kept going to church. And at one point, he decided to tell her that he didn't want her going to church anymore. So he told her if she went anymore, that he would lock her out of the house. He said, "You're always at church." And she said, "Smith, I am not always at church. I go 3 times a week. And I don't neglect you or the children. I make sure your needs are met. And I am going to go to church." And he said to her, "The Bible says that wives should obey their husbands." Now see, some people know just enough knowledge to get them into trouble or to misuse it, because that was a misuse of that scripture in this way. And so she proceeded to tell him that she loved him, that he was her husband, that he was the head of the house, but he was certainly not her Lord. And she was going to go to church, and she said goodbye. That night, he locked her out. Apparently, she did not have a key, because in the morning, he found her huddled up against the back door. And when he opened the door, she fell into the house. But she popped right up, and she said, "What would you like for breakfast?" And she didn't mention a word to him about what he had done to her. And I think there's a lot that we can learn from that. She went ahead and she made his breakfast, never said anything. And of course, later he felt convicted. And later, as he was sharing the story, he told that without her, he never would have made it. And later he became a great man of God, and he was mightily used of God. We know that many people were raised from the dead through his ministry. We know a lot of wonderful things happened, and he attributed a lot of that to her. She demonstrated forgiveness. She demonstrated the God kind of love. There is natural human love, and there is the God kind of love. Mature believers, as we are, we walk in love, and we walk in the God kind of love. But natural human love can turn on and off and quickly grow cold. Natural human love often quits. Natural human love can be finicky and self-serving. But the God kind of love is everlasting. It endures. It forgives. And it suffers. Did I say that the God kind of love suffers? Yes, I did. To walk godly before God and with man, sometimes you suffer. Did Polly Wigglesworth suffer that night in the cold? The answer is yes. So walking in love sometimes means there's some suffering that goes along with it. And I can show that to you in Scripture. We'll look at later. The love of God, the God kind of love, not only suffers, but it's also not provoked. It means it's not quick to turn to rage or anger, not quick to react in negative ways. The God kind of love is faithful to forgive. The God kind of love is kind and compassionate, understanding and tender-hearted. Love and forgiveness go hand in hand. Without forgiveness, love is incomplete. Now, this God kind of love has been shed abroad in the hearts of believers, according to Romans 5:5. That means you have the love of God in your heart, and I have the love of God in my heart. Not just natural human love, but a deposit from God Almighty into your heart and my heart so that we can walk in a way that's pleasing before the Father. And part of that love, a portion of it, is an ability to forgive your brothers and sisters in Christ when they fall short of the glory of God. And that is to put on the perfect bond of unity, love, so that we can walk with one another, even though there is sometimes there's suffering, or sometimes there's somebody's falling short of the glory of God. But we can stay in relationship because of the deposit of love that's been put on the inside of us. But this God kind of love can grow. It's like a fruit, according to Galatians 5:22. And fruit can be developed and fruit can be grown. Now, at the same time, that love that's been put on the inside of us, we can override it. We can allow it to remain dormant. We cannot grow it if we choose. That's why sometimes people act the way that they do. Why? Because they're choosing to override what's been put on the inside of them. But when mature believers are functioning in the love of God, we see the evidence of forgiveness. And we see mature fruit. We see love. We see these things. The God kind of love gives when it has been mistreated. It blesses when it has been cursed. We are to develop this God kind of love. We are to eagerly pursue it, to make it our aim, our great quest in life. We are to put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. For love to be complete and mature, it requires forgiveness. There are 5 points I'm going to go over with you today. One we looked at is that love forgives. 2, love forgives constantly and consistently. 3, love forgives others just as God forgives us. And we're going to look at that. What does it mean? Just as God forgives us. 4, love does not take into account a wrong suffered. And 5, bless those who curse you. If you've got your Bible open, you can turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. We're going to look at the New American Standard. And it says, so as those who have been chosen of God, that's you and that's me, holy and beloved, that's you and that's me, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Here's a key for us, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. We are to bear with one another. Why? Because sometimes people make mistakes. Sometimes they fall short of the glory of God. Have you ever? I have. And so we're to bear with one another. We're to forgive one another. 2, love forgives constantly and consistently. How often are we to forgive? At what point do we have a right to sever relationship, to cut somebody off because they've done us wrong? Because we don't like something that they did to us. At what point do we have a right to do that? We don't, ever. We are not in the business of severing relationships. We are ambassadors of reconciliation, restoring people to Christ. We are the body of Christ. We're to walk in love. This is how all men will know that we are his disciples, by the love that we have one for another. There is never a right time to sever relationships. Then Peter, and we're going to look at Matthew 18, 21, 22. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. 490 times. Okay, well, let's look at Luke 17, 3 through 5, see what that says. Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times a day and returns to you seven times saying, I repent, forgive him. And the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. What we see from these two scriptures is that Jesus was not saying seven times a day you forgive your brother. He was saying 490 times in one day you forgive. And so we see a pattern here, and he doesn't necessarily exactly mean 490 times. He was showing us that we were to be constantly forgiving, that we weren't really to measure it. We're not to keep a track of how many times somebody has sinned against us or somebody has wronged us. Now let's go ahead and look at what Jesus illustrated for us, because Jesus gave us a parable. In Matthew 18, 23 to 35, it says this, For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had, and for repayment to be made. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything. And the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And he seized him and began to choke him, saying, Pay back what you owe. So his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will repay you. But he was unwilling and went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their Lord all that had happened. Then summoning him, his Lord said to him, You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you? And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. Why was the slave called wicked? The slave was called wicked because he was not willing to forgive. When I was in Bible school, one of my teachers was Kenneth Hagin, and he walked out his life, and he finished his course, and he left good fruit for us to look at and follow, and I still read his books and listen to his tapes and messages. And one of the things he often said to us when he would teach us was, be quick to repent and be quick to forgive. Quick to repent and quick to forgive. It keeps you walking in love, and it keeps you right with God and right with man. Quick to repent and quick to forgive. Let's look at point three. Love forgives others just as God forgives us. Now, if we are to forgive others just as God forgives us, then it's going to be important for us to know how God forgives, because that's our standard. that we're to forgive others in the same way. So we need to know how God forgives. We're going to look at our main text again. It says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Just as. We are to forgive in the same way that God through Christ forgave us. It doesn't mean we're to forgive less than. We're to forgive in the same way, just as. We're to forgive the same way that God forgives us. That's the standard. That's how we forgive our brothers and our sisters. Let's look at how he forgives. Isaiah 43:25 says, as God says, I, even I, am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. God chooses not to remember your sins. Part of forgiveness is choosing to forget. Choosing not to remember them anymore. Not holding offenses against somebody. Not holding sins against them. Not holding their trespasses against them. In Hebrews 8:12, again, we see this. For I will be merciful to their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. God is merciful, therefore we are to be merciful. He said he'd remember our sins no more, therefore we are not to remember the sins of others against us. We are to wipe the slate clean. We're not to keep a long list of the wrongs that someone has done to us. We are to forgive the way God does, which means remember them no more. Some years ago, I was in a relative's home. And you know, when you get married, the dynamics of your family change. Yes. And I had my own mom and dad, and I had grandparents, and then got married, and then we had Brad's family. And so the family grows really fast when you get married. It's no longer for holidays just going home to your mom and dad, but you get kind of can be spread out, especially if they move around, especially if any of them have divorces, then the family can really get expanded. So anyway, I was in one of these relatives' homes, and they were upset. They were upset at Brad, and they were upset at me. And as I was standing there with them, they started to say some really mean and rotten, rude things. They were really angry because they hadn't gotten their way in some of these things. And they were just really saying bad things. And I stood there and I thought to myself, well, I thought, okay, God, I forgive them. So quietly under my breath, I was forgiving them. And as I was forgiving them, I was thinking to myself, the love of God that is in me is stronger than the hate and the anger that they are demonstrating. The love of God on the inside of me is greater. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I drew on the love of God that was in my heart. Instead of defending myself, I didn't. Instead of pointing out their weak areas, which I didn't, I drew on the love of God on the inside. And you know, when I did that, it was as though something supernatural happened to me. And this love came up out of me for them. It had to have been God in me. Because they were being really rotten. And I reached my arms out and I hugged them. And at first it was like hugging a porcupine. It really was. But the love in me was so strong. And then I felt them start to just melt. And all the anger is washed away. Love never fails. But to walk in love that never fails, we've got to be able to forgive. Not be offended. And love them anyway. To walk in mature love, we must forgive just as God in Christ has forgiven us. just as. We are not to return evil for evil, slander for slander, accusation for accusation. We're to walk in love. Let's look at point four. Love does not take into account a wrong suffered. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 really gives us God's definition of love. And in it, it says that love is patient. In the King James, it says, suffereth long. Remember I told you that sometimes love suffers? One of the first things we see about love is that it's patient and that it suffers long. It means there's going to be some endurance for you to be able to deal with either believers that don't walk in love or the world. If you want the world to see your light, it means the love of God's got to come up out of you and be stronger than their ugliness and their hate and their anger. And there are going to be times where you need to keep your mouth shut and you need to speak confession to yourself. Quote the word of God to yourself. Listen, I didn't have it in me, at least I didn't know I did, to hug that person until I started claiming the word of God. And still I started drawing on the love of God that was on the inside of my heart. And when I started tapping into that love and agreeing with God so that I could walk right, that love bubbled up and overtook me and overtook them. But I had to do what was right. I had to choose what was right. I had to draw on that love that had been deposited in my heart. And as soon as I did that, God was right there to manifest that love so strong. I literally felt love for that person while they were slandering me, while they were slandering my husband. I wasn't thinking of that. I just had this love for them. But I confessed the love. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. I have the love of God shed abroad in my heart according to Romans 5:5. I've got a measure of that love and that fruit is growing. I've got it in me and it's strong and I yield to it and I draw on it. I don't let it remain dormant and I don't override it. But I draw it out. And there was God right there with me to manifest that love. We have choices every day. Somebody cuts you off, you can cut them off. Somebody yells at you at the freeway, you can yell at them on the freeway. Or you can bless them. It's amazing how often I think we don't realize the opportunities we have to apply this word. The more we apply this, the easier it becomes. The more we realize we're to respond to this kind of God love, the easier it is for us to walk in it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says in verse 5, love does not act unbecomingly, does not seek its own, it is not provoked, it does not take into account a wrong suffered. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but it rejoices with the truth. And I want to focus on this also. It bears all things. This is where love suffers. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. There is endurance that is required for us to walk in love as mature believers. It takes endurance to deal with people that will gossip about you behind your back. It takes endurance to deal with people that will slander you, that will cut you down because you are a Christian, because you're walking with God. Cut you down, call you a Jesus freak. And yet we're called to love them. Demonstrate the love to them. In verse 8 it says, love never fails. So we see that love does not take into account a wrong suffered. Well, right here in God's definition of love, it means if you're not taking into account a wrong suffered, it means you've done what? You've forgiven. So forgiveness is part of God's definition of love. If somebody is not forgiving, they're not walking in love. Yet we do forgive. We are of those that walk in mature love. We are of those that forgive. We are those that do not take into account a wrong suffered. And this can be applied to marriages too. Boy, when you've lived with somebody for 20 years, you know them really well. You know their strengths and you know their weaknesses. I've thought of this. No one can love you more than your spouse. And no one can hurt you more than your spouse. And so we as believers then need to decide how we're going to love. How we're going to use the knowledge of someone's weak areas. Are we going to use them against them? Or are we going to shore them up where love covers a multitude of sin or weak areas? And cover and keep walking. Keep walking with them. Keep encouraging them. Keep strengthening them. Love doesn't quit. Love doesn't fail. Love endures. And in marriage, sometimes there are really, really good times. Sometimes there's hard times. But love doesn't quit. Love has never gotten a divorce. Love has never severed a relationship. Love has never intentionally cut somebody off on the freeway, or flipped them off, or sworn at them. Love doesn't quit. Love never fails. Love endures. Love is long-suffering. Love is patient. Sometimes people can stay in a relationship on the outside, but on the inside they can make decisions to cut it off. Let's talk about that for a minute. Because God is not real big on Pharisees keeping the outside of the cup clean while the inside is not. Do you know what I mean by that? By having right actions on the outside, but while the heart's not right on the inside. So if somebody thinks, I'll stay married to you, but I'm not going to love you, that's sin. I'll stay married to you, but I'm not going to forgive you, I'm just going to endure this, that's not love. That's not the God kind of love. If somebody says, okay, I'll stay in this church, but I don't like some of the things you've done to me, so I'm not going to serve in this area or that area because I don't like what you did back then, that's not forgiveness. It's important for us to talk about these things because sometimes people make decisions in their heart and they don't realize it's unforgiveness. But we're to forgive. And if when you forgive, it means you remember it no more, which means it shouldn't be affecting your actions anymore. It shouldn't change your path or your course. You should still be doing what you were called to do. If you're married, you should still be loving that person, supporting them, encouraging them, lifting them up, not cutting them off in your heart, not cutting off friends because they did you wrong. Well, I'll smile on the outside, but I'll never, never trust them again. Well, we need to forgive. Now, the Bible does say guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. And it also does talk about Jesus, where he said he trusted himself to no man because he knew what was in the heart of man. So you need to use wisdom. But we're talking about not severing relationships, forgiving. Pure forgiveness where it's true from the heart, because God talked to us about forgiving from the heart. Not just on the outside where you put it on, but pure from the inside. Because as we forgive others, He forgives us. If we want that total forgiveness to be completely in right standing with God, we're to have that right standing with other people. You can't always be at peace with all people. That's why the Bible says, if at all possible, be at peace with all people. You can try, but sometimes they have choices in how they will respond to you. But as long as you've done your part to walk in relationship with them, you've done your part to try, then you're clean before God. You've chosen life. You've chosen light. And their choices are up to them. We are to walk in the God kind of love. And the world doesn't understand it. But there is something about the God kind of love that breaks through to unbelievers. because they don't see it very often. They don't interact with people very often that will treat them with kindness when they're treating somebody else wrong. And so that's your light. That's where the love of God is demonstrated through you. All men will know you are my disciples if you have love one for another. So we are to have love for one another. Let's look at point five. Here you go. You ready? You want some deep, deep teaching? Here it is. Bless those who curse you. Bless those who curse you. Luke 6:27-28. But I say to you who hear. I notice it's very interesting that that's put in this verse right here. I say to you who hear. See, not everybody has ears to hear. Not everybody's willing to hear this message. Not everybody is willing to be a doer of this word. So he's saying, I say to you who have ears to hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. That's what we're to do. When you are mistreated, you're to pray for them. When they curse you, you're to bless them. When they slander you, you're to bless them. When they vent rage on you, you're to bless them. You're to love your enemies. I want to be conformed to the image of Christ. I'll tell you something. I read the Bible. My friend kept trying to get me saved. She brought this book, Four Spiritual Laws. She kept having me read it over and over. I'm like, I've read this, Shelley. I've read it and I've read it. She said, I just want you to read it again. Because she knew I hadn't gotten it yet. I believed in God, but he wasn't Lord of my life. I hadn't submitted my life to him. I still wasn't saved, even though I'd read that several times. She had the patience to stay with me. And she had me come, she came over again. I want you to read it with me again. I want you to go through this again. And I thought, I've gone through this. But at the same time I was reading the Bible, when I got to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I read what I'm calling God's definition of love, I started sobbing. Because I saw myself in the world getting worse and worse, because I was no longer living with my parents and their rules. I was off on my own. And I was in college. And I knew I wasn't going on a better path. And I read about God's love, the way he wanted the world to be, the way he wanted people to treat each other. And I said, that's what I want. And if that's who you are, and that's what you've set up, that you want us to be loving like this, if this is you, then I want you. And I gave him my life. But it was that love that drew me to him. It was what he wanted for us as believers, the way he wanted us to walk in love for each other, the way he wanted us to be a family, the way he wanted us to treat each other. I'd seen what the world was like. I knew that wasn't very nice. So I was looking. I grew up in a really good family, but I was still looking. And when I came to this, where he talked about love, that's when I said, that's it for me. That's what I want. I still am in the process of being conformed to the image of Christ. And it is a process, which means we've got to have grace for one another. When there's misunderstandings in communication or in anything else, there's got to be grace. As long as we are not perfect, there will need to be grace. There will need to be forgiveness. It's essential. For I want to be like Jesus. I want to be that loving and that kind. When somebody slanders me to my face or behind my back, I want to love them and bless them. I want that. I want to be made in the image of Christ. I don't want to be like the world. And so that means drawing on this love that's been deposited on the inside of me and getting it to grow. And sometimes it means there's suffering. Sometimes it means there's hardship. Sometimes it means we endure some things. But I want to do what's right with it. I want God to be pleased with me. So when I go to a relative's home and I know that they're not saved and they reject me and they reject what I do, I need to love them anyway. Because how are they going to know the love of God if I don't show it to them? So even though I feel rejection coming from them at who I am, at what I stand for and what I do, I've got to draw on the love of God from the inside of me to break through that and show them God's love. And the only way we can do that is by drawing on His love, that supernatural love that's on the inside of us. We are a family of God. We are to walk like a family, live like a family, love like a family, forgive like a family. So if you'll agree with me, why don't we just pray this, that God would conform each and every one of us to the image of Christ. You know, we know love, I know love. Oh, be kind and be patient. And we talk about love like that, and it seems so simple. But are you praying for those that have mistreated you? Are you blessing those that have cursed you? Are you pushing through when your relatives reject you because you are a Christian? Are you pushing through and loving them anyway? Or have you decided, well, they rejected me, so I'm just going to harden my heart towards them too, and it'll all be fine. See, and we may not say it with the words of our mouth, but sometimes there are little heart decisions, little heart attitudes that we go through. And God wants the inside of the cup clean, not just the outside. So, Father God, I ask today that the love of God that has been shed abroad in each one of our hearts, according to your word in Romans 5:5, that you would help us to grow that love. Father God, that we would take it to the point where, yes, we would consistently and constantly forgive others. And Father God, where we would be able to easily bless those that curse us. That we would pray for those that mistreat us. That if there are relatives that have rejected us, that we would push through that rejection with the love of Christ. Knowing that in reality, they're really not rejecting us. They're really rejecting you. But your word says that the love of God leads men to repentance. So, Father God, it's our job to demonstrate your love to them. So, Father, today I ask for breakthroughs with relatives. Breakthrough with friends that have said no to the gospel, Father. Show us things we can do. Show us good that we can do to them to minister your love to them. That they will know your love through us. Conform us to the image of Christ, God. Make the love in us so strong and so pure that it's not one time that we hug someone that's acting ugly, but that's our response every time. That we draw on that ability on the inside of us to love them every time. I thank you that love grows and that it's growing in us now. We commit to being doers of your word, not hearers only who delude themselves. And I hear, Father God, what you're saying to us in Luke chapter 6, 27 and 28. You say, but to you who hear, love your enemies. Father God, today we choose to be those that hear. Grow us and mature us, Father God, in this love so that we are truly loving our enemies, praying for our enemies, blessing those that curse us, forgiving those that wrong us, purely and truly, completely, in our heart, so that we're not keeping a list of the wrongs they've done to us, but we wipe the slate clean today of anyone and everyone that has ever wounded us or sinned against us. Today, God, if it wasn't complete already, we choose to completely forgive them and remember it no more. That means when we see those people, Father God, we won't allow the thoughts to flash to our mind about the things they did to us in the past. It means we'll immediately take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, as your word says, and we'll cast down every thought that doesn't line up with the knowledge of God. And when you say that we are to forgive and remember it no more, that means every time a thought comes to us about how somebody wronged us in the past, we choose to cast it down. We will not think on it. That means every relationship now starts new and clean. Fresh, new. We thank you for growing us and maturing us in your love. We thank you for the God kind of love that's been poured out in our hearts. We choose today to walk in this love, Father God. We thank you that you've given us the ability, you put it in us. And now it's our job, our responsibility to act on it, to draw on that love, and to grow that love. We choose to do that today. In Jesus' name, amen.